Okay, it's the 48th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination. Yes, it's November 22nd, 2011. Hi, I'm Bennett from the Kill Radio News Team, and this is the Weekly News and Review, which also contains the Harpers.org Weekly News. But first, let's talk briefly about JFK, which will lead into a discussion of critical thinking. Because we are in a time period when we have a gridlock in politics. The gridlock is represented, for instance, by this 12-member super committee that is unable to come to any decisions on how to cut spending and raise revenue for the government. And it's completely blocked on partisan lines. Meanwhile, JFK. I had a conspirator tell me once that if you don't understand what happened with the JFK assassination, you can't understand anything that happened in the rest of the 20th century. Well, what I know, after years and years, decades of studying this event, is that the JFK assassination was handled extremely badly by everyone involved. In Dallas, they allowed the federal government to take the president's body away, even though the crime would have been a local crime and a state crime. But the feds took control. The Dallas investigation into the assassination was ridiculous. They got a hold of Lee Harvey Oswald, and they kept him in the police station for 2 days, grilling him with questions, recording none of his answers, no audio recordings, no video recordings. And they were letting friends, the cops were actually letting friends of theirs come in and talk to Oswald. Oswald's brother Robert came in and did speak with his brother. Robert knew right away that Lee had committed the crime that he was being accused of, even though he was denying it. But Robert knew Lee very well. The cover-up, as I see it, was simply that the FBI and the CIA both had Oswald in their register. They knew what Oswald was doing. They weren't controlling him. He didn't work for them, but they knew him. He was on their radar. So when they saw that he had done this act, they tried as much as they could to cover up any connections because they knew it was their own fault that they hadn't kept an eye on the guy. So because of this, everything looks extremely mysterious. And we have had these conspiracy theories that have come up, flung themselves in our face. 1,000 books have been written about it. Hundreds of potential theories have been raised. Probably the best source for understanding how many theories is Oliver Stone's amazing film, JFK, where he more or less enacts multiple theories during the telling of the story. Not that he gives every single one of them equal weight, but he just shows where the mindset goes when you're in a conspiracy mindset. If you remember that in the movie, Clay Shaw just simply gets exonerated by the jury, and that's the end of the story. And so one can say that the film presents all of these theories as though they are facts, but that's not what happens in the film at all. We just see multiple theories. It's a cop-out to say, well, make you decide for yourself, but that's what people do when they want to prove something, but they have no way to prove it. They present a bunch of ideas and say, you choose. But in fact, that's not the way real investigations work. If you believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy, had nothing to do with the assassination, then you have not used your own critical judgment, because you have to think about what's going on. You have to actually think about what was done in the original moment itself, which most people don't. I highly recommend going to an old used bookstore and finding the paperback copy of the Warren Report and just reading it, just to see how badly this event was investigated. Then you'll begin to raise the question of, where do all of these theorists get their ideas? Well, they basically fantasize, most of them. And we're still seeing people living in fantasy. That's what happens. People would rather believe their fantasies than live in the real world. JFK is the great model of this. But there are so many others. For instance, I have not investigated the Jenny McCarthy body count in a long time, but that's something that I used to do regularly every week on the Weekly News. See, Jenny McCarthy, actress, former girlfriend of Jim Carrey, announced on June 3, 2007, that she thought that vaccinations cause autism. And she began to warn people on June 3, 2007, that you should not have your children vaccinated, or you should at least investigate it before you allow this. Well, it's now been years. And between June 3, 2007 and November 5th, 2011, this month, if you go to the Jenny McCarthy Body Count website, which is very well documented, you will see that there has been a register between June 3, 2007 and November 5th, 2011, of 85,627 preventable illnesses. Illnesses that could have been prevented by vaccinations that are happening because the people refuse to be vaccinated. If you know anything about herd immunity, you know that there are some children that cannot be vaccinated due to sensitivity. So the idea of herd immunity is that if enough people are prevented from getting a disease, then the entire community is safe. But the people who say that vaccinations are going to cause autism or they're going to do some terrible thing to our children, they're the ones who are being selfish. They're saying that they don't believe medicine. They don't believe science. They know better. Well, those people in their selfishness have allowed 85,627 children to get diseases because they haven't been vaccinated. And even worse, from June 3, 2007 to November 5, 2011, there have been 738 preventable deaths because of people not being vaccinated. 738 children have died because they listened to Jenny McCarthy. Now, in that same time period, the number of autism diagnoses that was scientifically linked to vaccinations, the number is still at zero. Because it's proven, multiple papers, multiple scientific studies show that vaccinations do not cause autism. It's that simple. Yet, not being vaccinated causes illness and death. Who's smarter? I'm saying use your critical judgment. That's all I'm saying. Now, it's the Weekly News and Review, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Occupy movement. I find it also very fascinating that the right wing of this country have decided not to embrace any kind of protest. So they're attacking the Occupy movement. In fact, we are now seeing violence against the Occupy movement because they've occupied for so long, people are getting scared. They're getting upset. They're getting excited about this, and it's not good for them. The right wing is scared to death of the Occupy movement because, simply, they have changed the conversation in this country. For the last 2 months, we've had these people occupying all over the country and the world. Before they started doing this, the conversation was about austerity. It was about cutting money. It was just the simple, normal distractions of the day. What the Occupy movement has done is raised the question of fairness. Now we are actually talking about how fair is it that multiple millionaires should get to make so much more money while millions and millions of people are out of work. Shouldn't the people at the bottom, shouldn't those people down there, shouldn't they be more important than whether somebody who already has $50 million makes $60 million? Why don't the people who are rich help everybody? They have more, so they can share more than anybody else. But the right wing, the one percenters, the who include all of the Congress, all of the Senate, all of the Supreme Court, these people don't want to hear from the poor people because they're fascists. Again, the idea of fascism, which is the combination of business and government, that's fascism. But there's also a fascist attitude that says that there are people who don't deserve to get anything. We can just wipe them away. Newt Gingrich made a comment just yesterday that what people should do in the schools is fire all the janitors. Have one master janitor and then have the students clean up the school. What I hear there is that janitors are expendable. That there are people who are expendable. You just throw them away. They don't need jobs. They don't need any security. They don't have families. If they do, who cares? Let their babies die. That's what we get from attitudes like that. The Occupy movement is raising the country's consciousness. And that's what's scaring the hell out of the one percenters. Enough introduction. This is the Weekly News and Review. It was posted by Anthony Lydgate on November 22, 2011, and it does concern the news of the preceding week. Egyptian troops killed at least 30 people and wounded at least 1,250 when demonstrators descended on Cairo's Tahrir Square following an attempt by the ruling Supreme Council of the Armed Forces to delay a presidential election and increase the military's power under Egypt's forthcoming constitution. Delay an election, increase military power. Doesn't sound right, does it? The country's interim civilian cabinet submitted its resignation, and a Supreme Council spokesman urged protesters to consider the damage they were doing to the economy. "There is an invisible hand in the square," he said, "causing a rift between the army and the people." I think that somebody else is causing that rift. A police officer at the University of California, Davis, was suspended after casually pepper spraying a row of seated Occupy protesters who were blockading their tents. Seattle police pepper sprayed an 84-year-old woman, a priest, and a pregnant teenager while clearing Occupy Seattle. And New York police swept into Manhattan's Zuccotti Park with noise cannons and Klieg lights, forcing out Occupy Wall Street protesters. Police vans obscured street-level views of the operation. The airspace above Lower Manhattan was closed to news helicopters, and a half-dozen reporters were arrested. Where's freedom of the press, folks? Where's freedom of the press? In a press conference, Michael Bloomberg, the mayor, said health and safety concerns took precedence over free speech. New York City is the city where you can come and express yourself, he said. What was happening in Zuccotti Park was not that. Not after they took away even books were taken away, right? Even books were confiscated and burned. They're trying to destroy the Occupy movement in Zuccotti Park. 2 days later, as thousands of protesters marched past the New York Stock Exchange, Bloomberg spent the morning tweeting about the dangers of tobacco. Oscar Ramiro Ortega Hernandez of Idaho was charged with attempting to assassinate President Barack Obama after it was discovered he had fired 9 rounds at the White House, cracking a window while the first family was out of town. Let's not forget that twice during his first term of administration, 2 people with guns walked onto the White House lawn and fired at the White House while Clinton was in the White House. Probably somebody who listened to Rush Limbaugh, who had a TV show at that time that stated that America was held hostage during the Bill Clinton term. Except that he took that stuff down when Bill Clinton was reelected. Because the right doesn't have any answers. All they can do is bitch and complain. In an Oprah audition tape uncovered by journalists, this Ortega Hernandez had actually said, "I am the modern-day Jesus Christ that you have all been waiting for." And When humans party, they party hard. Brazilian troops took care of Rosinda, Rio de Janeiro's largest favela, to clean up in advance of the 2014 World Cup and 2016 Olympic Games. In the middle of the slum, people searched a mansion belonging to Sandro Luiz de Paula Amorim, a kingpin in the Friends of Friends drug gang, and found a copy of Sun Tzu's Art of War. In China, where officials presented Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin with the Confucius Peace Prize for his iron hand and toughness during the Second Chechen War, a 9-seat van packed with 62 kindergartners collided with a truck, killing at least 18 children. A signed copy of former Penn State defensive coordinator and alleged child molester Jerry Sandusky's memoir, Touched, sold on eBay for $510. Michelle Bachmann shared her family's Thanksgiving pie preferences with reporters while Herman Cain discussed his pizza preferences. "My husband likes French silk," said Bachmann, "so if he's really good, he gets French silk." "The more toppings a man has on his pizza, the more manly he is," said Cain, adding, "A manly man don't want it piled high with vegetables. He would call that a sissy pizza." Yes. PETA requested that Turkey, Texas change its name to Tofurkey in time for Thanksgiving, offering in exchange meals of tofurkey with mushroom gravy, mashed potatoes with vegan margarine, and vegan apple pie with non-dairy ice cream. One Turkey resident said, "We are insulted. We like turkey. We are proud to be Turkey." Moody's downgraded its outlook on Pilgrim's Pride. Congress determined that tomato paste was a vegetable. I bet Herman Cain likes that. And a man in California was arrested after skinning and eating a bobcat while high on meth. Sailors on the USS George H.W. Bush don't have a working toilet. The Dutch convened history's biggest Zumba class. And the Irish assembled the largest ever group of people dressed as leprechauns. Carl Slover, one of four surviving munchkins from The Wizard of Oz, died at the age of 93. A great horned owl named Dakota was kidnapped from a rehabilitation center in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. "He's very talkative," said the center's director, "for an owl." In Switzerland, where dolphins Shadow and Chalmers were fatally injured during a rave, scientists concluded that bumblebees eat their colony's feces to protect themselves from the intestinal parasite Clethidia bumbi. Saudi Arabia's Committee for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice claimed the right to detain women whose eyes were too tempting. And the Pakistan Telecommunication Authority demanded that the country's wireless carriers block text messages containing any of 1,500 expressions, including the English terms fatso, barf face, strap-on, cyber slimer, ass puppies, monkey crotch, finger food, and axing the weasel. And, as well, an Urdu phrase meaning sweat of a lizard's pubic hair. "Nobody," said Pakistani Telecommunication Authority spokesman Mohammed Yunus, "would like this happening to their young boy or girl." So that's the weekly news and review on this 48th anniversary of JFK's death. Please think critically. Please don't accept what people tell you. Don't even, you know, accept what I tell you. Look up, if there was a story that interested you, look it up. See how clearly I told the story. You know? Think harder. Harder, even harder. And by the way, you can listen to my music show on killradio.org every Friday night at 11 p.m. It's called The Chill Room, and it's collage with music and all kinds of joyous things. Meanwhile, I should be back next week for yet another installation. of the Weekly News and Review. Thanks for listening.